God wants us to know that our past need not define us. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Perhaps life has delivered some severe blows that have left you damaged and fearful. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant is bringing a message of hope because the God we adore is a God that specializes in bringing beauty from ashes. So we invite you to turn to Pastor Grant's main text of Matthew chapter 1 and listen with us as he brings the first part of his message, God Creates Beauty from Ashes. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A few years ago, my children gave me a special gift for Father's Day. It was a gift to Ancestry.com, to get started with Ancestry.com. They knew that I knew a lot about my mother's side of the family, but I knew very little about my father's side, and I don't know if that was the motivation, but they gave me the gift to Ancestry.com. I was really happy for the gift. I figured I would finally be able to fill in some of the blank spaces regarding my dad's family, because I know so little about them. So to get the ball rolling, I put some of my saliva on the cotton swab, and I sent it back to Ancestry.com, and a few weeks later, I got the report, and where are my Nigerian friends, because you may be happy to hear I'm one of you. I am 46% Nigerian, 46% Nigerian, I'm 39% from other West African countries, and I'm 14% Western European. That didn't surprise me because my grandmom is probably about 75 or 80% European, but in the two generations, I was dropped to 14%. Well, I'm 1% mixed around, and so all those of you, wherever you're from, I am there too because I'm that 1%. Now, the report included several names. I recognize a number of the surnames because I recognize these to be my mother's relatives. And but then there were all these other surnames I didn't recognize. And I figured, wow, could these be the missing link? Are these my father's family? Wow, how exciting. Do you know what I did, right? I did nothing. You know, I realized that rather than spending all the time to do the research of my family tree, if I simply posted on social media that I had won the lottery, that would do all the work for me. Because everybody would come looking. No, don't worry, I didn't do that because I don't play the lottery. Amen. But on a more serious note, why didn't I do it? Well, the truth is, you want the truth? The truth is I didn't do it because I figured I'd better let the sleeping dogs lie. Because sometimes, you know, somebody said, if you shake your family tree hard enough, a whole lot of nuts are going to fall out. And I figure, just like you, I may have a whole lot of nuts in my family, a whole lot of crazy people who have done some crazy stuff. And you know, sometimes we don't want folks to know what some of the history. We like to tell them all the people who were successful. We don't tell them about all the chicken thieves and all the other stuff that was going on in the family. And so I figured, you know what, let me leave this thing alone. It's therefore amazing when you study the genealogy of Jesus that was just read so beautifully for us. This genealogy of Jesus that was put forth in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. It's therefore very fascinating that Jesus does not hide, because we have to remember now, he's the author of this book. He doesn't hide any of the shame and scandal in the family. He puts it all out there.
There are four ladies whose names are mentioned in the passage. We're only going to talk about three of them this morning. But it's just fascinating to me, the stories, because I believe as we look at all these three ladies this morning, we're going to save the fourth lady for Christmas Sunday. But we're going to talk about the other three this morning whose names are actually mentioned. And I believe that as a result of that, we'll come to the conclusion that God creates beauty from ashes. After we got saved, sometimes if we're not careful, you know, the devil wants to remind us of the stuff in our past. But this morning, God wants to remind us and to help us to get beyond any feeling of inferiority or any feeling of inadequacy. I run across Christians all the while, although they have been saved by the grace of God, filled with the Spirit of God, baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, they still harbor all these feelings of inferiority and inadequacy. And this morning, our message is entitled, God Creates Beauty from Ashes. And God wants us to know He can create beauty from the burnt out ashes of our lives. Amen? Amen. Here's the first thing we want to look at. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse number 2, it says, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Judah and his brothers, Judah begot Perez, and Zerah begot Tamar, Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Notice, Perez and Zerah was mothered by Tamar. I want to talk first about Tamar, or Tamar, however you want to call her name. And if you're taking notes, put this in your notes. God can create beauty even after an incestuous relationship. Tamar was a double widow. For her first husband, you remember the Bible tells you, did wickedness in the sight of the Lord, and God took his life. And after he died, Judah, his dad, he married his son Onan to Tamar so that they could raise up children. But of course, Onan, the Bible tells us, really, he practiced a sort of birth control. I just tell you, so when you read it, you wonder, what was he up to? He was practicing the birth control of the time to make sure he did not have any, that Tamar could not have any children for him. And so God was displeased with him, and God took his life as well. And so Judah, he had a third son. He promised that his third son, Shelah, he was going to give him to Tamar to be married. But Shelah was still young. So he said, as soon as he grows up, I'm going to allow Shelah to you. You're going to marry Shelah. And so you can have a son for Shelah. And so everything was set. The only problem is when Shelah became of age, Judah reneged on his commitment. And so let's pick up the story here. This double widow Tamar, she has lost two husbands, and the third person that is supposed to be given to her to be her husband, her father has decided not to go through with the plan. And so that takes us to Genesis chapter 38. We'll begin reading in verse number 12. Genesis 38 verse 12 says, "Now in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died, and Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shearers at Timnah, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, 'Look, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep.'" And she suspected he was going up there for something else as well, as we'll soon see. "So she took off her widow's garments, covered herself with a veil, wrapped herself and sat in an open place which was on the way to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown and she was not given to him as a wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot because she had covered her face. Then he turned to her by the way and said, 'Please let me come into you.'" He was not just coming saying hello, for he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. "So she said, 'What will you give me that you may come in to me?' And he said, 'I will send you a young goat from the flock.' So she said, Will you give me a pledge till you send me the goat? Give me something to hold on to. Then he said, what pledge shall I give you? So she said, your signet and your cord and your staff that is in your hand. Then he gave them to her and went into her. And guess what happened when he went in? She conceived. So she arose and went away and laid aside her veil and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the young goat by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge. Bottom line, when they went, they couldn't find her. So verse number 22, so he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. Also the men of the place said, there was no harlot in this place. No, there was not. It's your daughter-in-law. Then Judah said, let her take them for herself, lest we be shamed, for I sent this young goat and you have not found her. Came to pass about 3 months later, Judah was told, saying, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. Furthermore, she is with child by harlotry. So Judah said, bring her out. Let her be burned. So when she was brought out, she said to her father-in-law, saying, by the man to whom these belong, I am with child. And she said, please determine whose these are, the signet and the cord and the staff. Shame and scandal in the family. So Judah acknowledged them and said, she has been more righteous than I because I did not give her to Shelah my son, and he never knew her again. And if you continue reading the rest of the chapter, you will see that she had twins. And the one, the younger one, the one who ended up coming second, seemed to have been coming first. But it turned out that Perez broke through, and Perez became the firstborn. And this is why Perez now becomes in the offspring of the Lord Jesus, the tribe of Judah. Then, of course, Judah and Perez. Let me say this to you. What Judah did was disgraceful. Can we all agree on that? But let's be honest. That did not give Tamar. That did not justify what Tamar or Tamar did. For to get even with her father-in-law, Tamar tricked him into committing incest. Don't miss that. In order to get even, sometimes we read it and we focus on the sin of Judah. But two wrongs do not make a right. And what Tamar now does, she creates an incestuous situation. And I just want to say to you know, we don't get a chance to say very much about incest. I couldn't tell when last I've ever heard anyone talk about incest from this pulpit. But this morning we have a chance to say what the Bible has to say about incest. Because guess what? Incest is still going on in this country. Did you know that? In fact, you may not know it's still legal in Ohio. Oh, I come from a country where incest is not unusual at all. And I know that in many parts of this city, there is a whole lot of incest going on. So what does the Bible have to say? Turn to Leviticus chapter 18. Here's the beautiful news is that God can bring beauty even after an incestuous relationship. Praise the Lord. Amen. But look at what the Bible says here in Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 6. None of you shall approach anyone who is near of kin to him. Get the rule, near of kin. We are not to have relationships with the individuals who are near of kin to uncover his nakedness. I am the Lord, the nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother, you shall not uncover. She is your mother, you shall not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife, you shall not uncover it. It is your father's nakedness. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere, their nakedness you shall not uncover. Hanky-panky between brother and sister is a disgrace and a shame before God. Amen? Amen. So let's jump all the way to verse 17. You can take the book and you can read it, because this may be a chapter of the Bible you've never read before. It goes into great detail with all sorts of incestuous relationships. But in verse 17, here's how it reads. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover their nakedness. Here's the part I'm focusing on. They are near of kin to her. It is what? It is wickedness. My brothers and sisters, incest is wickedness. And if you have ever committed incest, if anyone under the sound of my voice, whether here or on the live stream, or you may be listening on the radio, if you're involved or have been involved with incest, you need to make sure you come to God and beg Him for His mercy, because God says it is wickedness. Regardless of the cultural norms that you may be from Ohio where it is okay. God says it is not okay. It is wickedness. But despite the wickedness they had done, despite what had happened here, God, the God of great grace, allows Perez, the child of incest, to be one of the forefathers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what I want to drive home today. Because Satan always sometimes wants us to be so burdened by what has happened that we can't get rid of the past and the baggage of the past, and we cannot run the race with all our hearts because we're so worried about what happened in the past. I met people who have been children of incest. Perhaps you have too. I have met children who have been born as a result of incest. I've met people who have been abused. They have been the victims of incest. Perhaps you're here this morning. Listen, these stains, the damage caused by these things are long-lasting. And perhaps I'm speaking to somebody because we're from such a large variety of cultures. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody and you're a victim of incest. Listen, or you're a product of incest. You're the child and this has damaged your life. It has hurt you deeply. I just want you to know that there is healing available in the Lord God Almighty, and I want you to know that the God whom we serve can bring beauty even from that past incestuous relationship that you have been impacted by. Write this in your notes. God wants us to know that our past need not define us. Amen. Our past need not define us, for He is a turnaround specialist and can create beauty from our ashes. I wonder if there's somebody, do I have a witness here today who can say hallelujah? Listen, yes, God is a turnaround specialist and He can create beauty from the ashes of our past. And listen, I just want you to know, if that's you, if I described you, you're one of those who are struggling because of the past. You know, sometimes it's going to require counseling. By God's grace, and as we apply God's word to help you and other methods, listen, whatever you need, we're here to help you, whether it is through biblical counseling, whether it's through psychological counseling. By God's grace, we will do everything we can, because listen, God wants to turn around your life, because He is a God who can create beauty from your burnt out ashes. God can create beauty even after an incestuous relationship. But the second lady whose name is mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus is Rahab. So write this one down. God can create beauty even after a life of prostitution. You know, some people have the idea that Jesus came only for good people. I hope you're starting to realize that could not be. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly that Jesus, what, is a friend of? Sinners. He's a friend of sinners. But He's not only a friend of sinners, His family tree is full of them. Oh, I'm only talking about some of the ladies today, But boy, I tell you, if you looked at some of the men from the jump start, there was a lot of sinning going on. Jesus is not only a friend of sinners. Listen, the Bible says he didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners. And my friend, if you're a sinner, you're one of those that God is very interested in. Jesus came specially for folks like you and me because he came to call sinners to repentance. And one of the very public sinners that is in the family tree of Jesus is this lady named Rahab. You know, some people have a hard time believing that Rahab actually sold sex. Oh, they feel the word harlot. Some will tell you that she was an innkeeper, and it was just a regular, like a Holiday Inn or a Motel 6. No. I don't think Motel 6 or a Holiday Inn wants to be told that they're in the harlotry business. That's the business she was in. Look at Joshua chapter 2. But Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, especially Jericho.' So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country.' So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you.'" They didn't come to stay there. They came to her. "Who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Just use your sanctified imagination. The reason these men went to hide at this place is not to purchase any of the services. Let's be clear. But if you're trying to hide, they knew that all hours of the day and night, strange men were arriving at this location. Are you with me? But for whatever reason, somebody still suspected, even though this was a place of heavy traffic for strange men, somebody still figured out, these men are stranger than strange. These men don't look like our type of folks. We don't usually see these Jewish people here. So it ended up being reported to the officials that they had come. But there's another big reason. You see, you don't expect. You know, if we were writing our family tree, we probably would not have put her in there. A prostitute was in the mix. But there's another reason why it is sort of surprising to see Rahab's name in the family tree of Jesus. Because one of the other reasons is that she was a Canaanite. And Canaanites were the hated enemies of Israel. There was every reason why she should not have been in the family tree of Jesus. Not only because of her occupation, but because of who she was, her nationality. She was a hated enemy of Israel.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.